Okay. We're in the middle of the seventh chapter of Yesodei HaTorah, and we did Aleph last time about Nevuah. So these are going to be the next few, almost to the end, is going to be about prophecy. So he spoke about what's required in order to be a prophet. Beis. He said Beis, we started that there are many levels of prophecy. Hanaviyim malos hein. There are different levels of prophets. In other words, the clarity of your vision, the scope of your vision. It's not like prophecy is you know, one ticket and you see what's going to happen. I guess the right way to explain it is, it's not just a clear picture of what's going to happen. It's an understanding, and it really depends on how well you figure out what's happening. He says, "V'kulon ein roen mara nevua." Now, there are some limitations in a prophet. They see it only b'chalom, in a dream, b'chazoyin alayla, in a vision of night, or b'yom, or during the day, acha she'tipalem tardema, after a sleep falls on them. Okamo shenema b'mara elav esvada, I will appear to him, I'll become known to him in a vision, b'chalom adaba, I'll speak to him in a dream. Now, this is actually from the parasha we read just this Shabbos, and it's going to be important for the next part of the Rambam. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu separated himself from his wife. His brother and sister Aaron and Miriam found out about it, and they kind of felt that it was improper. Like, why is he acting so holier than thou? And they're also prophets, and they don't separate themselves from their spouse, so why does he do that? So the it says over here, Hashem said to them, listen, if you are a prophet, I come to you in a vision and I speak to you in a dream. Not so Moshe, my servant, who's faithful in my entire house and so on. I'll speak to him mouth to mouth. We'll see later more details of that. But the point is, let's understand what this thing of a vision or at night is. At night, or during a person's sleep, his rational faculties are not really working. The reason why we see, we always have this funny feeling when you see a vivid dream, it makes a lot of sense when you're dreaming. When you wake up, you say, that's the craziest thing I ever saw. It's like you could be dreaming, I love the smell of green, I hate the smell of blue. And it makes a lot of sense when you're dreaming, and when you wake up, you say to yourself, that's crazy. And the reason is because at night, you have a person's imagination is at work, whereas a person's rational factors are not at work. Imagination is the medium through which Hashem gives nevuah. Meaning, being that prophecy deals with things that are beyond the scope of what reason could predict or understand, the vehicle is going to come through imagination. And that's why it's something which comes to a prophet, a normal prophet, only at night. That's one limitation. Two, V'kulon kishmisnabin, and all of them, when they have these prophecies, Evareya mizdazin, their limbs begin to tremble, V'koach haguf koshel, and they become very weak, V'shneseh mistarfes, and their thoughts become confused, V'shneseh means their wits becomes confused, V'tisher hadas pnuya lahav mashatireh, and then the mind becomes open to seeing that vision. So let's understand this. It's as if somebody would have short-circuited a normal person in a person in a normal state has sensory input. I see things around me. I feel in control of the situation. I feel comfortable with the situation. And my mind dictates what to believe, what not to believe, what to see, what to take in, and gives meaning to everything I see. That's the normal state of a person. Prophecy is as if you'd infuse a circuit with an overload of electricity. The person's body and his lower faculties can't cope with a vision of prophecy. It overwhelms a person, and it's as if the outer layers of a person's personality shut down. It includes his body, it includes his normal self-confidence, it includes his ability to feel that his reason can actually put meaning on things. And that's when he's open to receiving from Hashem. It's like, imagine a person when he's in a situation that he's comfortably in charge, his ability to accept advice from other people or knowledge from other people is limited. When the person feels kind of overwhelmed, he's in a situation where strange country, strange language, weird things happening, he depends on somebody. Because, so prophecy is, as long as my mind is doing the thinking, I'm shut off from an outside input. I'm not open to getting an input from the outside. Masha'ein kein, when I feel completely, when I feel at loss, that's when I'm comfortable in receiving that input. So every prophecy is a negation of the person's physical side. Physical, I mean, on a very deep level, and that's why he's open to receiving the message from beyond. The disadvantage of it is there's a disconnect. And a person has a hard time translating them, just like we have a very hard time translating a dream into reality, because it's very different. A prophet has a hard time translating prophecy. We'll see in a second. And he proves this with a verse, Kmo Shnemba Avram, by Avram it says, V'hine Eimach Asher Gdol Nefel Salai. When Avram had the vision of the covenant, he said, a frightening darkness fell on me. Ukashanema but Daniel, like it says by Daniel when he saw his vision, the Hodi Nefka the Mashkis, my entire face became contorted, I had no strength left. So they both are describing prophetic visions as a negation of self. Gimel. Hadvarim Shemodin Lenovi Bimara Hanevua. Anything that a prophet sees in prophecy, with a vision of prophecy, derech mashal modiyim lo. It is it's always an analogy, a parable, an allegory. Let's try to understand this point. This is a significant point. If you take a look at all the prophecies in the books of prophets that are described, Yirmiyah, what do you see? I see a pot cooking. That's a sign there's trouble brewing. What else do you see? I see a Megillah flying in the air, and all sorts of things like that. That's the typical vision, except for Moshe, and he'll make that distinction later very clearly. All the prophets, their visions are never clear. They are sort of parables of sorts. And he says, "Umiyad yechakak belibo pisun amoshel," and immediately understands what its meaning is. B'mar nevuah, v'yed demar, understands what it is. But let's try to get a little bit to the bottom of this. If I tell you there's going to be a war tomorrow, so what's the point of telling you after giving you a mushel? Like you'll hear drums beating, and I'll tell you this is a sign there'll be war tomorrow. Well, just get to the bottom line. There'll be a sign tomorrow. There'll be a war tomorrow, and that's that. And the answer is prophecy. Let's understand it at the way we normally process things. When a person has creative ideas, when a person does not have creative ideas, when a person is just passing information, he's an accountant. So he deals with facts and figures. Input is facts and figures, output is facts and figures. And my mind just acts as a processor to process material. Nothing was generated. I simply processed information. There's a second type of thing. Let's say this creative, a person is, let's say, writes plays or movies or books. So the person starts with a sort of a feeling, like he has a certain mood in a certain situation. And then he takes that mood and he sort of brings it into a words, scenes, expressions that actually concretize that. So you start with something that's not verbal, it's not articulate, it has not expressed itself in any real concrete way, it's just this feeling. And then when I process it, I put it into words. Prophecy is a connection to God beyond where my mind is. So the elementary grasp of it, the connection is an idea, an understanding that's vague by definition, because God is beyond me. This is the place beyond my mind. My mind has exhausted itself figuring out what's going to happen. And what I pick up is a beat of drums. What I pick up is the pot boiling. What I pick up is that. That's a very deep part of myself to connect. It's like when you're another person and you're close to him and you sense a mood. And you don't know, you say something is wrong with the person. I don't know what it is. I can't put words on it. I just feel something. There's a black cloud and I don't know what it is. That's a higher form of connection, because it's sort of an intuition on a level that can't be expressed in words, but it's useless unless I'm able to put into words. And I can say, oh, I think this person is very depressed. He's worried about something. He might be suicidal. He might be this, might be that, the other thing. Prophecy is a connection to Hashem, which means I am connecting to something beyond the scope of my understanding. I feel that, and I see that by that connection, and then I translate into words. A prophet is called Navi. He's the spokesperson of God. Let's understand another piece about what a person is. Unkelis describes a person as capable of speech. Nefesh chaya mizruach memala. He's a spirit that speaks. If we were to describe a person, our first description would not be that we can talk. Hopefully we can think. In other words, if I had to ask you what defines a human being above animals, I would say he thinks. He's intelligent, more intelligent than animals. It's true. Let's say maybe human beings are the only people that sneeze. I don't know. Maybe animals do sneeze. May yawn or hiccup or laugh. I wouldn't describe a person like that. Yet we describe a person, the early philosophers described a person, the Greeks describe a person as the speaker. And the point of it is, animals are capable of some rudimentary forms of language in terms of banging their paws on the ground, making noises. But language is not the words we say. Language is the ability to take relatively abstract ideas and convey them in words. The word justice, so when I say hard, that's not the gift of speech, because a bee could do the same thing. If a bee flies into a wall and it's not good, it could flap its wings in a way that'll tell the other bees, stay away from this, or there's nectar here. So
bees go one step further. Bees can communicate where to go to get nectar.
Correct. So basically, the communication is nectar. Sense the nectar, buzz the wing, and so nectar is a physical entity, the buzzing is a physical entity, and the following. It's the physical, it's just translating one form of energy, another form of energy. So just like I can take earth and make a brick out of it, and brick make a house out of it, and there's nothing wondrous about it, a big thing. But the fact that I have a word for love, the fact that I have a word for justice, the fact that I have a word for evil, for good, all these things, and I can speak about it, I can convey an understanding. That's the power of speech, is to take those things that are in the realm of the abstract and give them a certain level of expression in this world. And that's human. Angels live in a higher world, they're all abstract, but they've got no language. No angels ever come down and given us any lectures or anything, and that's fine, they're there. Animals are physical and they can deal with the physical world extremely well to suit their needs, but they can't. There's no sense of drawing the abstract down to this world. We can't do that. So a prophecy is the same, a super version of that sense. I sense something that's beyond, and then God gives me the words to convey it with. But it's significant that I'm not repeating a message. I'm repeating a reality that I tapped into, and that's just the way in which it's done. So he says the prophet gets it, through, you know, it's what he sees is sort of a vision, an abstraction, and he conveys it with speech. Kimo, Hasulam Shor Yaakov Avinu, Umalach Alav Yarbo, Jacob saw ladder and angels coming up and down. And this represented the kings, the different dynasties that would eventually rule over the world, enslave Israel, and so on. Or Ezekiel had these visions of different animals. The pot that was blown up, and the stick with almonds on it, and so on. So to other prophets. Now the Rambam adds something here which seems to contradict what he said before. I don't have a good resolution for it, but he says the following. He says, V'chein sha'an aviyim, yeshem oimrim ha'moshe b'soin k'elub, there are those who tell us both the riddle/parable and its explanation. V'yeshem oimrim ha'pisal levad, and some of them, they tell us just the solution, you know, is the meaning. Upama ha'moshe ha'lopis, and some of them tell us only the parable without the meaning. Like you find in Ezekiel's Chaya. But all of them have the prophecy through this venue. So I think what he means here is they themselves always perceive both the mashal and the meaning. That's how they work. But but they don't always say it. So when you find in the prophets a prophet prophesizing, you have one or the other, or both. But they themselves, what the story that really happened was, they saw both. They may choose to reveal one or the other. The book may choose to give over one or the other. But whenever you see a prophecy, a true prophet gets both a vision and a meaning of the vision. Okay. Dalit 4. Kol ha'neviim emisnab mechol eisha yirtzu. All prophets cannot do prophecy whenever they want. Ella mechavnen daiton, they sort of focus. V'yoshven smechem to lemisboden, they sit, they have to be in a good mood, and they have to be alone. She'ena nevuah shor lo mitoch atzvus, when a person is depressed, there's no prophecy. V'lo mitoch atzlus, and not when they're kind of lazy. Ela mitoch simcha, you need to be upbeat in a positive mood. So those are prerequisites, but they're not automatic guarantors of it. Lefikach, b'nei ha'neviim, and that's why people who were practicing prophets, lifneim nevel v'sofachol v'chinor, they would listen to music, v'imevakshan nevuah, and they would try to attain prophecy. V'zeo shenema v'heimam isnabin. It says in the verse that they were in the process of getting prophecy. What does that mean? Kloma mehalchem b'darcha nevuah. They were going along the path towards prophecy, achinavu, until they would be fortunate enough to receive prophecy. Kemoshatoma plonim misgadol. Misgadol means in the process of attaining something. Hey. So whenever you find the word sons of prophets, the word ben in Hebrew can mean the son of. It also means apprentice, in the process of, part of the process. So whenever it says b'nei ha'nevi'im, it means the people who are engaged in the process that will allow them to see prophecy. And then the Rambam adds the point that he's making. Even though they are trying hard and they're sort of focusing, it's possible they'll receive a vision, possible not. Let's discuss this point. Why is this point significant? Let's have the two points I want to make. The first one is this point about maybe yes, maybe not. Like, why is that significant? The big picture. You know, whether God chooses their prophets or not, that's his business. And why the Rambam just needs to tell us his prophecy, needs to tell us how we recognize a prophet, but that sometimes the process works, sometimes it doesn't work. So what? I mean, what? If you take a look before, also, he says that if a person does right and focuses, miyad ruach hakodesh aralav, he immediately attains a divine spirit. So there's a part of prophecy that we can attain automatically, and there's a part of prophecy that is a that is not automatic. So let's explain this point here. Let's say I want to have a relationship with someone. Let's say I build a robot that I can shape it to look very nice. I can also make it very bright. I'll never ever have a feeling that I'm having a relationship with someone else, because I programmed the robot, and I know how it will respond and what ways it respond. So basically, it's me all over again. It's a mirror image of the program I put into it. I can diversify the program. I can do whatever I want. Program, but at the end of the day, it's just my puppet. So just like it's hard to fall in love with a puppet you've made, because it's only a puppet, and it's not. Let's take the example a step further with human beings. Imagine you're dating a girl, and you don't see eye to eye anything. That relationship doesn't go very far, because that person is just different. I don't have anything in common with her, and you know, what I think is black, she thinks is white. What I think is white, she thinks is black. It's nothing there in common. No common ground. No, it's a no-go for a relationship. Let's take the other example. So you say to yourself, why isn't this relationship working? Say, I have nothing in common with her. I just don't know where she's coming from. She doesn't know where I'm coming from. You know, for all practical purposes, I might be from Mars, she might be from Venus, and nothing doing. So we say, okay, I've got this great girl for you. You go after this girl. Everything you say, she says, yes, you're 100% right. Now, that's not going any place either. And the reason is because where's the other? I mean, basically, it's narcissistic. I mean, this person is me, and there's no other. So a relationship with an other requires two elements. It requires that there be an other, which means there's a possibility of it differing, and there has to be a connection. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls a wife Ezer Kenegdo, a help that is opposite, means there's another person, and he or she has at least the ability to think differently than me. And if there's agreement, it's because despite the fact we as two people want to bond together. So I need to have the sense of the other. It is one of the reasons to understand why God gave us free will to disassociate from him, because we would not be others. Angels are not other beings, they're extensions of God, because angels don't disagree and can't disagree. We can disagree, so when we agree, we forge a bond. So you have a kind of almost an oxymoron. The real relationship is the same in the one that's different. A person has inherent potential and free will to do great things and to become a great person. We're all born with a reservoir of potential. And as long as we work that potential out and we grow, we've made ourselves. We recognize God gave us the potential, God gave us the ability to work, God helped us, wonderful. But it's not relating to God, it's relating to ourselves. We are developing ourselves. The only, and that's why there's no limit to what we can attain. In the realm of myself and what God gave in it, it's up to me. If I work hard and I prepare myself and I grow, then I can have Ruach HaKodesh. That's as far as I can get. but that I always have myself, I don't have God. The day that I have a level of interaction with God, the way I know it's God is because no matter how hard I try, if he doesn't want, there's no vision. So in the parts of growth where it's up to me to make that leap, to make that process go, then I don't have God involved in the process. It's a self-centered process with the recognition that this is God-given and divine inspired, and so on. But in this realm of prophecy, where God can choose for no reason that I can discern, I'm holy, I'm learned, I'm wonderful, I'm great, I'm waiting for prophecy, and prophecy never knocks at the door, then that defines prophecy as the other. And that's why it's a world of difference between the person that has attained Ruach HaKodesh, which is a wonderfully high madrega, and it's all that's needed as preparation for prophecy, and prophecy. In Ruach HaKodesh, I'm never sure of God in the process, because it's me developing myself to my full potential. Prophecy is God. I want to add another point from a different angle, as far as what he says, people would sit and wait for prophecy. What? Sorry? What does that mean? Until we've been learning the Rambam, we understand prophecy is God's spokesman. God's got a need to communicate with people. Being all-knowing and all-wise, God knows you pick a spokesman, and he picks some guy out and says, Yankel, I need you to go down and stand in town square and say, you sinners, terrible people, wait and see what's going to happen to you. So all they are simply, it's a way of God to communicate with us through the vehicle of a spokesman. So why would I want to sit and wait and say, God, would you have any message to give? I'm really, you know, I'm waiting to be a spokesman. If you have anything you want to tell people, please tell me. What's the point of that? I mean, if God needs to tell you something, he'll pick up a phone and tell you, you know, I've got an important message, drop whatever you're doing and come to the mountain and go down again. The answer is, prophecy is a personal achievement. Like we said, prophecy is communicating with God, where we sense God as the other and as communication. It's the highest madrega in a person's own accomplishments. And the Rambam says, you know, there were many prophets that never spoke publicly. And the Rambam says, you know, there's a difference in terms of must it come true and so on. The Rambam does say differences. So prophecy is first and foremost a level of personal achievement where a person is actually in communion with God. God uses that process to talk to people, to tell people, to give instructions. But prophecy in itself is not the process of speaking to people. It's a process of communicating with a person. And that's why it's listed over here. That's why the Rambam spends time on it, because this is not you know, the Rambam gives us afterwards guidelines. How do we recognize a prophet if he's telling the truth, not the truth? How do we believe his message? Those are all in the realm of the prophet as the speaker to people. But when you're talking about a personal achievement, that's why it belongs here in the fundamentals of Torah. The Rambam spends a lot of time in the Guide to Perplexed dealing with prophecy, because it's a personal accomplishment. It's not just a means of communicating God's pleasure or displeasure with people. The Rambam, we won't go further, but the Rambam is going to explain that this state of affairs is true about everybody except for Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is going to be a very, very significant change when we speak out all prophets or Moshe. And we'll see why. But Moshe stands out in how his prophecy was received, how he reacted to prophecy, the vehicle that was used, and so on. That's going to, and the Rambam expresses it in his articles of faith, the 13 Animamins. The Rambam says the difference between believing in prophecy, generally speaking, or Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's recap one point, and we'll finish with that. The Rambam says that God communicates with a prophet is a fundamental of faith. It's a line that actually is something that has cut conservative Judaism, which claims to be as close to orthodoxy as can be, and reform for sure, to orthodoxy. The first step that conservative Jewry, I guess, took away from Emuna was there is no such thing as God actively communicating with people. People are divinely inspired. In other words, everything is humanly generated, but might be stimulated. In other words, the truth of any, when I read books by bright people, by inspired people, I say to myself, there will be many nuggets of wisdom here and much truth. But it's not true with a capital T. It becomes from a person. And no matter what kind of obfuscating language you use to describe how wonderful this person is, at the end of the day, it's another person. And therefore, there is no message that is absolute. There's no message that's not open for debate, question, interpretation. When we make a bracha on Haftorahs, which is prophets, not Moshe's prophet, but even regular prophets, you know, we say that God chose worthy prophets and chose their words that are said with truth. A prophet is bringing a message from Hashem, which means it's absolutely true with a capital T. It is true because Hashem said so. His message might not be clear 100%, and until we get to Moshe's prophecy. But understanding it, it's not human mind. Ruach HaKodesh is human understanding at its best, at its super level. But that's a human being, and it's only as valid as human is. Prophecy is a message of God, and the crucial point is because no matter how much I prepare myself, and how much I do in terms of trying to attain prophecy still remains, flat. It remains a prophecy in that, and God can decide to give it. God can decide not to give it. It's not me, because if it's me, then it's up to me to do it. Okay, I think we'll hold it here, because the next one he goes into Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's a whole new element of things. Okay.